ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
In 2018, the body of 24-year-old Toya Cordingley was found on a secluded beach in Australia's far north. Now, the man accused of her murder is facing trial. Rajwinder Singh has pleaded not guilty, and in the case of Toya's murder, we'll bring you all the details from the courtroom as he fights the charges in this highly anticipated trial. Search for the Case Hot podcast in the ABC Listen app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is your boss paying you what you're worth? The public sector union are clashing with the state government over salary negotiations and reckon they're not getting a fair deal.
There's a lot of hard-working Tasmanians out there.
My boss is the boss of Tasmania.
Tasmanians want us to get on with the job.
North, south, east, west, I don't care where you live in the state.
The reality is that workers are extremely angry. They're not going to stop until the government actually treat them with respect. And that's what this is about, fair wages, fair conditions.
Hello and welcome to ABC TassieCast. That's Health and Community Services Union Secretary Robbie Moore there, speaking on behalf of workers who reckon they're not getting a fair deal. And I'm ABC TassieCast producer Grant Walter, not your usual host, but stepping in for an episode while Ailey Ward is off, to ask, are Tassie's public sector workers being paid what they're worth? And how does that affect the rest of the state if Tassie can't attract new blood where it's short of staff? After all, the public sector is the biggest workforce in the state. We're talking teachers, police, nurses, firefighters, and more jobs we might consider critical to society. So, as the government and the unions go head-to-head, ABC journalist Selena Bryan has been looking into it. Selena, hello.
Hello, Grant.
Break it down for us. What's happening?
So the government is negotiating 16 industrial agreements, and that covers most of Tasmania's 36,000 state service employees. Now, workers say they're feeling undervalued and disrespected by the state government, and those frustrations have really been building for some time. The firefighters, for example, say they've been in negotiations for their pay deal since February, and they still haven't received a meaningful response to their claims. And from the several unions that I've spoken to, that frustration and concern around the process really seems to be across the board.
So what is the government's offer?
The state government has offered workers a one-year 3% pay rise, which the unions have rejected. The government made that original offer in September, and then since then they've made a revised offer 3 weeks ago. That kept the 3% pay rise, and then in the government's words, strengthened standard employment conditions, including changes to the parental leave qualifying period, personal leave and pregnancy loss leave. Premier Jeremy Rockliffe has said that the revised offer is fair and would deliver a pay rise to most public servants before Christmas. He's calling for that short-term deal to be accepted while a longer-term agreement is brokered. And Mr. Rockliffe says the 3% offer is twice that of inflation.
We need to ensure that we're listening and learning in what the unions are putting on the table. There's also budget considerations to take input into as well. And so this is about good faith negotiations.
So if it's all about good faith negotiation, how has this offer been received?
Look, not well. The offer has been described by the health union, for example, as insulting, disrespectful and out of touch with the reality facing health and community services workers. So different unions want different things here, but generally speaking, it's a pay deal higher than the 3% currently on offer and across the board better conditions. So the unions say that 3% fails to keep up with the cost of living and the disparity between the Tasmanian and mainland public sector wages. As a specific example, the Community and Public Sector Union, which represents a wide range of workers, has a campaign called Bridge the Gap. So that's focused on bringing Tasmanian pay and conditions in line with other states. They're calling for a 5.9% catch-up payment and then a 5.2% pay rise each year for 3 years. Health workers have also highlighted the need to close the pay gap and tackle problems with recruitment, retention and safety across essential services.
So what's the response been on ground then?
So a couple of weeks ago, we saw staggered industrial action across the state. That was 3 days of rallies and stop work action in the three regions. That was including teachers, health workers, firefighters, park rangers, child safety advocates. HACSU, the health union, said that they were protesting against a disrespectful pay and conditions offer and the government's poor approach to bargaining.
That's a fair breadth of industry. How many people were involved in the action?
There was a significant turnout in each of the regions, so thousands in Hobart, there were 500 in the north and hundreds in the northwest, and HACSU said that they hadn't seen a turnout like that in 8 years.
So is all this industrial action still ongoing?
It is. And yes, even this week it's escalated. The CPSU, for example, has launched further action. It says its members have been asked to work to rule. So things like not working unpaid overtime and claiming all entitlements, and other unions like HACCS who have been doing similar work to rule and safety related actions. So one health sector example is that some hospital aides have a ban on handing out patient meals because that's not part of their role. And it's supposed to be done by food service officers, but aides had been stepping in to help when food services were short.
It's a tricky situation. Now, the recent budget has just been handed down. How does the government feel about increasing the offer?
So, yeah, the government handed down an interim budget last week, and that factored in a pay increase of 2.5%. But we know that the government has already increased its offer to 3%, which is estimated to cost the state an extra $125 million. The Treasurer says he's not providing any extra cash to cover higher wage increases, and that then departments would be forced to reduce spending to do that.
Here's what Erica Betts had to say.
Public sector wage outcomes are a major expenditure risk as well. A 1% increase above the budget at 2.5% wage indexation could cost an additional $250 million over 3 years, with public sector wages contributing over 46% of total operating expenditure. Current demands are simply unattainable. Wages is the single largest operating cost of the general government sector. Excessive wage requests have real consequences for fellow workers and Tasmanian taxpayers, whereas reasonable requests are manageable.
Tasmania is in a challenging financial position. So debt is projected to reach $10.4 billion in 2028-29, and the cost of paying that debt down is significant. The government wants to cut the public service. It's planning to reduce it by about 2,800 jobs, and that's up from 2,500, and it's set up a new efficiency and productivity unit to help achieve that. So we've got both job cuts and cuts to departmental spending on the horizon. Thurza White, who's the General Secretary of the CPSU, has expressed her frustration about the way the budget is being managed.
Public sector workers did not cause the budget mismanagement. The budget blowout is not a result of wages that are above what other public sector workers get on the mainland, far from it. So it cannot be part of the solution is to continue wage suppression and expect Tasmanians to take a hit.
Though there has been some debate around the optics of a recently approved pay increase of about 22% for Tasmanian politicians. What's happening there?
Yeah, that's right. Tasmanian politicians are mostly receiving a 22% pay increase. So that was improved in September after being recommended by the Tasmanian Industrial Commission. The context there is that politicians have had their pay frozen since 2018. So this is about them catching up from that. The timing right now doesn't really help with the optics around pay for frontline workers. So the base rate paid to MPs will rise by about $30,000 to $171,000. And that is still just the lowest base pay of any politicians in the country. Some MPs, though, have rejected it, including the Premier, who's taking a 3% pay rise in line with the public sector offer.
Selena, Tassie can't be the only state grappling with budget versus labour costs. How do we fare against other states in terms of public sector salaries?
So I had a look at the base salaries for both first-year nurses and teachers. For nurses, we're going okay, sitting around the middle at about $78,000. Victoria is the lowest on $67,000 and ACT the highest on $80,000. The gap with the top, though, does widen by the fifth year, so we're offering $90,000 then compared to $94,000 to $95,000 in the ACT, NT and Queensland. And as for teachers, the starting salary in Tasmania is $82,000. Victoria, again, is the worst on $78,000, with the ACT paying $10,000 more a year at $88,000.
Teachers in Queensland have been going through similar negotiations of late too, haven't they?
Yeah, they have, and that's still ongoing too. So the Queensland government offered a three-year 8% pay rise, so significantly more than our 3%, which would have meant every state school teacher would earn more than $100,000 a year by the end of 2028. But interestingly, that the union members there have also voted against that.
But it's not simply public sector workers affected here though, right? All Tasmanians have skin in the game if we lose workers or can't attract workers from interstate with competitive salary, no?
Yeah, that's a consideration. So we need to be an attractive state to work in, and with nationally competitive salaries and conditions being a big part of that. It's something the opposition leader Josh Willey touched on last week.
Well, budgets are about priorities, and these problems with the budget haven't happened overnight. We have a government that has ignored the problems, the warning signs from Treasury, from eminent economists about the spiralling debt situation. So this hasn't happened overnight, but budgets are also about priorities. And when we're talking about the education workforce or health workforce, we're in a national labour market and we can't afford to lose any more of our workforce through a government that can't manage the budget.
Josh Willey says we can't afford to lose any more of our workforce. Where are we currently seeing shortages?
So they're right across a range of sectors, including healthcare, teachers, child safety workers. The CPSU told me that child safety workers is a major area of concern. They're really struggling to attract and retain child safety staff. They're experiencing challenging vacancy rates. Schools too are struggling. I know at my kids' public primary school that there have been days where if a teacher is sick, the class has actually had to be split across other grades. So there have been like year two students spending the day in a kinder classroom and then some of their classmates in other classrooms, for example. And as part of this negotiation, support staff in schools are arguing for better conditions and incentives. In Tasmania, they're only paid during term time compared to other states that pay 52 weeks of the year. So they also want to receive similar higher pay incentives that teachers in hard-to-staff schools receive, such as those in isolated areas or with more challenging workplaces.
And coming back to the budget, the argument being that it's too tight to afford an increase, many are arguing that it's more about the government's priorities and where they're spending their money, aren't they?
Yeah, look, there's a lot of concern in the community about the government's spending priorities, and a lot of that is centred around the proposed AFL stadium. So that's being debated in Parliament now, and one of the biggest concerns that's continually been raised about that is how much it will cost the state over the next few decades, and whether that's a good investment when so many people are struggling with the cost of living and access to health services and housing.
So what's next? I mean, how long can this draw out?
The government says the revised offer will remain open to public sector unions until November 28. The unions are really frustrated with what they're saying is the government's take it or leave it approach. They're saying they've put their, you know, their log of claims in months ago and they're just not getting any kind of real government response to that. They're also worried that back pay still isn't guaranteed. So if this blows out months, that the back pay of that pay rise won't be forthcoming. And there's concern that without an agreement that this action may continue for months to come. The unions want this to be a genuine negotiation. While they don't expect to land in a position where all their claims are met, from the conversations that I've had with them, it feels like the offer on the table is still well short of what's hoped for, and so there's still a long way for this to play out.
We'll no doubt be hearing more to come on this issue. Thank you, Selena.
Thank you, Grant.
And thank you for having me in place of your usual host, Ailey Ward, who will be back in the seat next episode. Until then, you can get in touch with us via email at tazzycast@abc.net.au or check out our other episodes on the ABC Listen app. Till next time, cheers.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.